Please be seated. Today is our great day. We have gone through a season of Lent in which we focused on striving, in a sense. We strove to look at our own lives, to examine our hearts, to prepare ourselves for this day. And in doing all of that, the season was just a symbol of our lives as a whole, how we seek every day to look at our lives, to ask what parts of our lives are not matching up to the commitments we've made, to the faith that we profess, what parts of our lives do not reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. And we take the season of Lent especially to pray, to practice spiritual exercises such as fasting, to give ourselves more to reading scripture, reading other good devotional readings, to loving others, serving the poor. We use all those exercises, especially during the Lenten season, but they're part of our lives every day of the year in some sense. And then we move into Holy Week, which we began last Sunday, a special week of drama, as I preached about at the Maundy Thursday service, a drama that we participate in, a drama that in some ways frees us from the unhealthy version of wrestling with, have we done enough? Because every year Easter comes back. And truly, every week Easter comes back. In the history of the church, we began by celebrating communion and the reading and teaching of God's word every single week. Sometimes we'll say that every Sunday is a little Easter, and that's a helpful way to think. But the truth is actually the opposite. Easter came from every Sunday. It was every Sunday Christians gathered to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, to put that at the centerpiece of our lives. And in time, the church felt that doing that every Sunday could begin to feel as if we weren't giving enough attention to Easter. Interestingly enough, celebrating every week can feel like you need an extra celebration. Those of you who are married may feel that. You tell your spouse every day, hopefully, I love you. But having birthdays and Valentine's days and anniversaries are useful ways to say the same things you say every day, but to say them in a special way. That's what Easter is. Every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection, and in a sense, every day we celebrate the resurrection, but once a year we say it in a special way. It's our anniversary in the same way that we try to say every day, the Lord is risen, he is risen indeed. We try to say every day, alleluia. Why is Easter so central to us? There are several reasons, but the heart and the soul is this. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Our hope. I don't just mean our emotional hope. I don't just mean that's what makes us feel good. Hope in the Christian sense is trust in that which we know that we will receive but haven't yet. Just as faith for us is not blind faith, it's not an irrational faith. Faith is simply trust, and trust can be rational or irrational. Withholding trust can also be rational or irrational. You meet someone, they seem wonderful, and you decide immediately to get married without knowing them at all. That's a blind faith. That's an irrational trust. You don't know their character yet. You don't know if this is a person to join your life to or not, and you're rolling the dice. On the other hand, you date someone for 20 years and you never make a commitment because you just aren't sure yet if you have enough information to marry or not. That's also irrational. Faith in the Christian sense is like that. We don't practice or preach blind faith in which we don't know if the story is true or not. We don't know if Christianity is real. We don't know if God exists, but we're just going to have blind faith because it makes us feel good. That is not our Christian faith. But equally, we don't spend our lives saying, look, I've studied this, I've sought the truth, but I just don't know yet. I'm going to wait and wait and wait and wait and spend my entire life waiting before I make a commitment. We investigate the truth. We seek the truth. We seek to know if God exists or not so that we can make a commitment. There are many religions in the world, and we seek to discover, is Christianity the true one, so that we can make a commitment. We study Scripture and we study about Scripture so we can say, can this be the guide to our life or not? And if so, we make the commitment. We seek to learn about church. I talk about this often, that church is the family of God, the local family of God. All of us who are Christians belong to the universal family of God. We say it in the creed as the universal Catholic Church, or just the Catholic Church, because Catholic simply is an old word that means universal or one. We join the family of God, but to be a family, we need to meet together and be in person and share lives and get in arguments and forgive each other and rub each other the wrong way and love each other anyways. We've got to do that to be a family. And so we meet together in this family week by week. And for those of you who are visitors, maybe you have a church family where you already live and you do the same thing. But if you don't and you're in this town, please join us. If you don't and you're from another town, please find a family. Because we need to live out our faiths. We live out trust. And we live out hope. The resurrection is the hope. It is such a powerful idea. It's preached in our epistle today, Colossians, that we died with Christ and are risen with Christ, and he will appear. That in some way that is mysterious, that does take faith, a rational faith, a faith that says, God, I've gotten to know you enough to trust you, and I don't understand everything. Like a loving child of a loving parent, I don't understand everything you're talking about, Father. And yet, you have proved yourself trustworthy, so the parts I don't understand, I will trust you in. Because you have proved trustworthy in the parts I do. Some mysterious way, we have died with Christ. Christ said that he would die for our sins. But that wasn't just a transaction. That wasn't even just a debt being canceled, as if the bank lets you know that you've overdrawn your account and it's $1,000 in debt, and then Jesus dying on the cross paid that debt. It's much more intimate than that. In some mysterious way, the gospel says if we let Jesus join our lives to his, that in a real sense, when he died for our sins, we also died. And when you die, your debts are canceled. When you die, they can't come after you to pay that debt anymore. Right? If you could picture your ghost hovering over your body, don't take this literally, right? But if you could picture it, and you imagine somebody coming up to your body and saying, wow, but that guy owed me $1,000. You can imagine your ghost saying, what are you going to do to me? You can try to get it, but I'm gone. When we die, our debts are canceled. Jesus died and we died with him. Our life was somehow contained in his life and our debts were canceled. But that wasn't the end of the story. Jesus rose again. And Colossians tells us, as well as many other places in the scriptures, that we also rose with him. We received new life with him. That's part of the symbolism of baptism, which is the sacrament that we use as the entrance into the church, as the membership, as the joining the church family, joining the Christian family. Part of the imagery is literally of being drowned and resurrected, as well as being washed clean. We died with Christ. We received the life of Christ. That in some mysterious way, we are alive, but alive with Christ. The very life of God is in us, and we are in God. The language is mysterious, but it's the mystery of poetry. It's beyond what we can understand, and yet just the pieces that we can understand will change your life entirely. To live out a life in which you say, somehow, I am joined with God. God is enthroned in heaven, and yet in some way that is beyond my understanding, but not counter to understanding, meaning it goes beyond our best study and our best wrestling and all the power of our intellect. It goes beyond that, but it is not irrational. Some mysterious way, I am with God in heaven. My citizenship is with God in heaven. My membership is with God in heaven. My family allegiances are with God in heaven. My values as a human being, my value as a human being, are all with Jesus in heaven. And I am a pilgrim, a tourist, an ambassador, a visitor on earth. I carry the values of the kingdom of God with me. I walk through this world as a representative of Jesus Christ. I live out a life in communion with our resurrected Lord. His resurrection is the proof of heaven. It is also the empowering of heaven to live a Christian life. The very life of God lives in you if you receive his life, if you receive a relationship with him. If you haven't done that yet, if you haven't said yes to that yet, do it today. If you need time to think and pray about it, do that too, but begin that today. Come talk to me after the service. Talk to someone else. Talk to the person who brought you. But begin that process now. And for those of us who have already said yes, say yes again and again and again. Let this Easter be the start of a cycle of saying yes again and again. For one of the pieces of my Lenten reading this season, I've been reading through a collection of sermons by Bernard of Clairvaux, this wonderful 12th century monk, one of my favorite theologians and writers, and different sermons. And his sermon for Easter Sunday, or one of his sermons for Easter Sunday, he's talking to his monks. He's the leader of a monastery, a Cistercian monastery. And he's talking to them and he's saying, essentially, we have spent Lent in repentance. Don't turn off, I'm using different language than him, but don't turn off the repentance now. Don't say, I got through Lent and I don't have to be repentant anymore. Say, I got through Lent, and in celebration of Easter, I'm going to love God even more. Give up the fasting and feast today, but let your feasting be even holier than your fasting. Let our joy in the resurrection cause us to love and serve God even more than our repentance in Lent did. Let us celebrate by taking on more and more the values of the kingdom of God, the values of God. If you don't know what those are, we work on those together. We learn those together as a church family through studying the word individually and together, through the preaching, through the reading of the word. But I bet you know a place to begin. Even if you don't know it all, I bet you know a place to begin to love others more and to love God more. Let us celebrate the resurrection by living out the life of God in relationship to us. Let us celebrate by living in our citizenship in heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.